The franchise owner of multiple chain restaurants here in Wisconsin was fined by the U.S. Department of Labor last week for violating child labor laws. Manna Inc. allegedly committed violations at 40 separate Wendy's and Fazoli's restaurants across the state. In a press release last Friday, the Department of Labor announced the company would pay close to $160,000 for those violations, as well as violations in 8 other states. Paul Secunda is a professor of law at Marquette University and expert on labor and employment law. Paul, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Rob. Thanks for having me back.
How often do we see these kind of child labor violations actually go to the stage where people are getting fined for them?
You know, not often. I would say the various sections of what's called the Fair Labor Standards Act, there's 3. So you have minimum wage, you have overtime, and then you have child labor. I would say child labor is the most forgotten. Obviously many teens from the ages of 13 to 16 are working in various jobs throughout the state and throughout the country, and yet it's always interesting when you hear one of these cases actually be settled, because it just doesn't happen all the time.
And we're talking in this case, I think, mostly about teens in the 14 and 15 age range. What kind of laws are there specifically for them, and how much and when they can work?
Well, first of all, you have to understand that the federal and state laws here are pretty similar. So it's under the federal Fair Labor Standards Act, but Wisconsin, also through its Department of Workforce Development, has rules as well. So what we're talking about here are rules that say that minors under 16 years of age may work no more than 3 hours per day on school days and no more than 8 hours per day on non-school days. Also, they may work no more than 18 hours per calendar week in weeks when school is in session, and 40 hours per calendar week when school is not in session. So this is very specific, based on school days versus non-school days, summer versus the school year. And here, what the company agreed to settle over were requirements where 14 and 15-year-olds, as you said, were allowed to work more than the 3 hours that are allowed under law, and also the hours. Apparently, in some of these cases, they were working before 7 a.m. in the morning, which is not permitted, and after 7 p.m. on school nights, which is not permitted.
What does enforcement look like of these kind of laws? Because it seems like if this is happening, one 15-year-old at one restaurant, these rules are being violated. It seems like that's probably not going to make it to the Department of Labor.
No, what the Department of Labor, their wage and hour division, is looking for is symbolic cases. In other words, cases like this one, where you had something like over or almost 450 minors who are involved in this large restaurant change. So what they're trying to do is they prefer voluntary compliance. They just hope that people who employ children this age will voluntarily follow the law, but every so often, a complaint will be raised by an employee. They do have inspectors that do surprise audits of various types of restaurants and other types of industries where children tend to be overworked or otherwise in violation of child labor laws. So there's only so many inspectors to go around in Wisconsin and the federal government. So the resources they have to use strategically.
Talking to Paul Secunda, professor of law at Marquette University, focusing on labor and employment law, talking about a case, a franchise owner of a bunch of restaurants in Wisconsin and elsewhere fined by the U.S. Department of Labor for violating child labor laws. Now, we're talking about $160,000 here, Paul. If I own one franchise, that's a lot of money. This company owns a lot of franchises in multiple states. Is this, I think some people have described this as a slap on the wrist. Is that fair to say?
Well, it's not a lot of money, given how many restaurants are involved. And as you pointed out, 40 are located in Wisconsin, but of course there are many more than that in the other 8 states. I think, again, it's symbolic. I think it's trying to say, look, right now we are at this level. If you keep doing it, we can actually raise the fines. The way that fines work under this law is if they're repeated or if they're willful, they can be increased. That is, the amount of the fine per child who's involved in the unlawful work. So, this company is now on notice that if they continue to engage in these practices, it won't be $160,000 next time. It will be substantially larger, and obviously, in-house legal counsel for this company is not going to want to take that risk. So they're trying to, again, use what resources they have to send a message to this company that this type of practice will not be tolerated because it's putting children at risk, but also telling others who are both in the fast food industry but other industries that use a lot of children that they should be on notice as well that these types of fines will be forthcoming.
Paul, can you give us a sense of some of the history behind how these child labor laws came to be in the United States?
Yeah, absolutely. It's actually very interesting because it started in 1938 when we were in a depression in this country. And a few years after its enactment, the Supreme Court of the United States kind of broke it down as far as what is the purpose of the child labor protections. And there's two purposes. First, they said it should be recalled that the child labor provisions of the law and its purposes were both economical and sociological. So the entire nation had been affected with the depression that was worldwide. It was desirable to protect adult employees against the competition of minors. Moreover, Congress was afforded an opportunity by reason of prevailing conditions to act a law long agitated for and exceedingly desirable to protect children against harmful labor. So not only does it protect adults from competition from children who make less money, but it also goes hand in hand with compulsory education laws. The idea is to get kids out of the workplace, into school, so they have educational opportunities, so the types of employment they have going forward allow them to make a better standard of living.
And looking back, we may have seen the historical pictures of the kids in the coal mines or other places that, you know, now we really think kids shouldn't be. Has that kind of extreme, maybe even dangerous environment for kids been pretty much fixed in this country?
I would say no, and it makes me sad to say that. There are still children throughout this country, especially in unmonitored factories and in many large cities, who are immigrant children, who are not documented, who are working in what can only be called either sweatshop conditions. Also in the agricultural world, we still have a lot of children who are picking fruit, harvesting vegetables. It is an ongoing problem. And one of the things I want to say to those who are listening is that even though there's not a lot of litigation involving child labor, it's a substantial problem in the United States, and it's an even bigger problem worldwide. The poorer the countries, the more likely you're going to see children doing extremely dangerous work. It might not be a coal mine, but it might be operating dangerous machinery or being exposed to dangerous chemicals. We want children out of danger in those workplaces and in the classroom where they belong so they can be educated and avoid some of these hazards in the workplace.
How do you tackle that problem here in the United States? If we're talking about kids who don't have documentation, their parents aren't going to want to come forward and report this for fear of leaving the country.
Correct. And in fact, that's why a lot of these cases are not brought through private lawsuits. A lot of the parents, unfortunately, need the money. And without their children working in the fields, as far as farming is concerned, or working in these factories, they can't buy food, they can't afford rent. So it's a matter of survival. This is where the government has to come in and be paternalistic and say to the family, we can't allow you to just make your decision based on economic self-interest. We need to protect the children here so they're not susceptible to the same vicious cycle of poverty, which if they stay in the fields, if they stay in these factories, they're most likely to fall into. So there's no easy answer, but it really is the government, the state government and the federal government's responsibility to look out for these children, especially when their parents are otherwise not likely to do so.
Coming back to this 14 and 15-year-old case we have in Wisconsin, how about kids who are still in school and 16 or 17 years old? How do the laws change at that age?
So at 16 and 17, as you might gather, we give, that is Wisconsin gives and the federal government gives, a little bit more flexibility as far as how much they're allowed to work. So longer hours, including more than the 3 hours we talked about and the 18 hours per week. But also you can engage in more types of employment as far as occupations that are considered hazardous. So there is a distinction between 14 and 15-year-olds on the one hand, as far as employment and hours that they're prohibited from doing, and those who are a little bit older, 16 and 17, because at that point, the idea is they're more likely to have the responsibility and the know-how not to hurt themselves or hurt others in the workplace.
We'll leave it there and watch for future cases. Paul, thanks a lot for being with us today.
Okay, Rob. Great talking to you again. Take care.
You too. That's Paul Secunda. He's a labor and employment law professor at Marquette University. He was with us today to talk about child labor laws on the federal and state levels. This comes after the U.S. Department of Labor fined the franchise owner of 40 restaurants in Wisconsin and some out of Wisconsin for violations of child labor laws as they apply to teen workers aged 14 and 15.